So I think our first item is the Pension Board's work programme, which is paper B. That you're going to take us through, Jo?
Yes, that's fine, thank you. No, we've got them both now, thank you. Thanks, Trixie. I emailed round a copy of the SIPFA guide on the 1st of the 4th, which is April, 1st of April, which basically, it's been published for a while now, but it's a guide written by Gerard Moore, who some of you will be aware of through various SIPFA events, to basically say pension boards had been in operation at this stage for 2 years. Here's some helpful hints as to how the board might want to operate. So I think there is some really useful stuff in there. And as part of our work plan, I think we need to be looking at what it suggests in here in terms of reviewing the terms of reference and various other criteria for appointment and deselection and membership criteria and all of that sort of stuff. So I think there's quite a lot of stuff that we can use as a part of our ongoing review of processes and the operation of the board. But as we are at the start of a new council year, and we have the work programme, I thought it was useful to print out the sort of the key pages around the suggested annual work programme and the 21 questions that would help to inform our deliberation of our work programme and work through to make sure that we've got everything that we need to have in the work plan, as well as some of the things that we might have missed.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the work programme, which is in Appendix 2 to the report, you'll notice that there were some question marks in the January meeting,
yeah.
The one that's shaded in pale grey on page B15. For some reason, when the corporate calendar was agreed, that meeting was missed. We have no idea why, but it has now been confirmed as being on the 28th of January 2020. So on page B15, that question mark is now the 28th of January. So I've done some scribbles through on my work plan and looked through on the suggested annual work programme that's on page B6 and B7, and I think most of the stuff we've got in our work plan. Okay. But I'm happy to take questions, comments, thoughts, plans, and obviously the work plan is an iterative document. We can change it on a regular basis. It's primarily, we can't change the dates of the meetings.
No.
But we can change the contents of them if there are things that come up, so that we've just got a good idea of what we're looking at and why we're looking at it.
So, really. So you just said you think most things are on there. What is the things you think aren't?
On page B6 now, if we look at, there's a local pension board annual report, the fifth one down. There's monitoring of investment performance and funding ratios, which we haven't necessarily covered here. I've got some exclamation marks against a few things like the risk register and the board's training plan and the funds business plan and forward plan, which we know are kind of in development.
Yeah.
And I think in terms of strategy, we have most of those. Either the board has already been quite heavily involved in the creation of, for example, the admin strategy and the breaches of the law policy and the review of the fund's governance and com strategy and the terms of reference. Mm. There are others that we haven't touched on, like the discretions policy and the investment strategy and the risk management and ESG. But again, those are on the work plan of things that we are developing, and obviously the board's input will be sought and welcomed on all of those items. And then on the 21 questions, I think it's probably worth a separate agenda at some point to actually go through those and do almost a tick box exercise that says yes, we have done this, or no, we haven't, and we need to work that through, unless members have had more of an opportunity to look through them and have specific thoughts at the moment.
Is that something we could quickly go through, not just very
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes,
oh, no, absolutely. I mean, I'm happy to take however this works. It's just, again, there's we're in that situation where there is a lot of stuff going on, there's a lot of things to think about and a lot of things that need to be done. It's just trying to work out how is the best way to do it and get the best input. So, yeah, happy. Take. Do you want to start?
Do you really want me to?
You're as good a place as anywhere.
Okay. The board's terms of reference recently been reviewed in light of experience? I would say no.
Yeah, I do have, as part of the guide, and one of the work plans is... We do need to look at the terms of reference, so it may not specifically be mentioned in the work plan, but it's in my head as part of the sort of looking at the governance and making sure that we've got the right information from this board's guide in there and everything. So, yeah.
Okay. Terms of service board members staggered to avoid cliff face scenario. Technically, no, but it's something we're aware of.
Yeah.
We've got provisional.
And I think as we're reviewing the terms of reference, we need to think about that. I mean, obviously, the elected member rep is subject to the every 4-year election cycle. We just need to make sure that we've got the right staggering. I mean, to an extent, with Trevor's recent appointment and yours as an ongoing appointment, there is that staggering there anyway. But
it's not very much, though.
No. And so it's just that something that we need to look at as part of the review,
Is the process appointing new board members practical and speedy or too time consuming? Because we're tied up as a committee and the process it has to go through. Any of my thoughts about that?
Absolutely, and part of the there is quite a lot of useful stuff in here around appointment and deselection of members, so again, you know, we will be looking at that one.
Is there document
plan
to bring on new board members up to speed?
I wrote no to that. I think it's again, it's that training, it's that documentation, it's the induction plan, it's the committee and board life cycle 4-year work plan.
It's, you know, new board members, they're just generally left to come up to speed, but I think that's something that the board should actually take a lead in rather than. Is there appropriate and regular contact between chairs of the board and the committee?
I don't think so.
We have
talking about it, but we have.
In theory, yes. In practice, no.
Is the committee commissioning work from the board, such as risk reviews, breaches, log, etc.?
I think
from my point of view, I think that we're here to do some of that, and you know, to a certain extent, I feel like, why am I sitting here? Because what am I doing?
Yeah, and I think again, I have written no next to this one, as in not could this not be considered, but yeah. And I think the next that links into the next one in terms of feedback mechanisms from board to committee. I think when we've got the development session before the next board meeting on the June 18th, Gerard Moore's coming down, and one of the things that he will be helping us through is that interrelationship between the board and the committee, and you know, how we get the best out of the board and how the committee and the board work together. So,
I mean, we still occasionally get, I mean, it was probably the last time, it was about 6 months ago, we got a comment about in the committee meeting, I don't understand why we need a board.
That's because the committee
don't understand
the rules, basically. So, we went through, I mean, if you recall, we went through all of this when we set the board up in 2015, through right up to the very, very top of the organisation. And the reason we have a board is, one, because the law says we have to. That is the only reason. Well, that's the reason why we have to have one. So what we need to do, and what we, I think, part of the work plan and the work programming and all of this stuff that we're trying to get to our heads around now, is to make sure that it's an effective and efficient use of everybody's time and beneficial to the pension fund as a whole.
Do investment issues have too high profile for the agenda of the board? No,
I don't think so. I wrote that down. So that's a smiley face, like that.
It is, is there any process for identifying new risks?
No,
agree.
Yeah.
Maybe every 3 months or something, if there's a discussion about a certain thing.
Yeah, and
maybe.
And again, we are. It is on the work plan. It's part of the different governance review that we need to have a more robust risk management framework. So, yeah.
Is the pension regulator as good practice 14 kept under regular review? Not collectively.
No.
Which is what it should be.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that the suggestion in the board is that we perhaps devote a session on each agenda to a section of the code.
Yeah.
To then say, right, well, this week we're going
to
look at
what does it mean?
Breaches. What does it mean? Have we got a policy? What does our policy mean? How do we work it?
And
do we understand? Yes.
Policy.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Or not. In which case, what do we need to do? Yeah, absolutely.
Pension fund failed to return any surveys issued by TFP or SAB.
Every survey that has been submitted on time, and I believe I've either consulted you previously or reported afterwards that the submission has been done. So there are a couple more surveys coming up shortly, because we haven't got anything else to do.
Does your fund have outsourced shared service arrangement for scheme admin? So have you seen and followed the pension regulator's managing service providers' guidance?
We don't have outsourced, so it's not applicable for that one.
But you have shared services?
No, we have scheme administration in-house, so we're under number 13.
Okay.
So shared services would be if we were working with Hampshire, for example.
Yeah, okay. Scheme administration is in-house. Is there a reluctance to record, perhaps, important report in breaches caused either by the pensions team or by departments?
I have my thoughts on that one is that I think there might be.
Yes.
Yeah. but as part of the review of the KPIs and the review of the administration strategy, there will be more opportunity and there will be more reporting on employer compliance, which includes the council, and we will be looking at KPIs in terms of, if there is a failure to meet one of the deadlines, why has that happened, and is it a reportable breach, a recordable breach, and then is it reportable? But one of the other things I'm looking at with the governance providers is looking at a service level agreement, so that we can have effectively between the board and committee and the administration team a service level agreement that says we will do this, we will do that, we will do the other by these dates, and then there will be proper KPI reporting on that. So again, the opportunities for being more open and transparent.
Is there a similar thing that needs to be called any appropriate reporting of breaches against that caused by other councils in the fund?
We don't really have other councils, so to an extent that one's not applicable, but what we will be doing, again, as part of the compliance with the administration strategy, is reporting compliance with employers in terms of providing data and submitting contribution payments and other payments on time. So,
if you have reported any breaches, have you included plans and timescales for rectifying the situation and preventing its reoccurrence? Should future breaches occur, reporting, it's advisable simultaneously to include rectification plans?
I think, I mean, if you look at the breaches log that we have got reported, there is a space to include
it's
actions.
The log is sort of incomplete.
Okay. Well, we'll take that.
But when they're reported, there's...
Number 16, do we have a data improvement plan? Yes, we do.
Absolutely.
And it's reported on the board, and that's why Claire's here.
And indeed, it's prior to the record of those approaching retirement.
I think at the moment, I'll speak to Claire and then Claire can correct me. We've done a big data cleansing exercise on all of our historic data, but I believe when there is a retirement calculation or somebody asks for a retirement quote, there is a lot of work done on those individuals.
But it's when somebody asks, isn't it? Because there's something in one of these saying that there is no reporting mechanism in place to review who's coming up for retirement.
Yeah.
So if you haven't got that in place, you can't be reviewing the records.
No, absolutely. And I think we're looking at after we've kind of closed the current data improvement plan to then do a sort of data maintenance plan to an extent, which will include contacting all deferred members because that's where our biggest gap is and doing some age analysis and things like that. So we'll have a business plan for looking at, and again, that comes into the service level agreement and the effectiveness and efficiency of the pensions admin team, which we're going to be looking at once we've got our current backlogs out of the way.
Equally, with valuation coming up as well, we've been doing a lot of reporting and exactly trying to identify those particular members. And I know a lot of the two clerical guys that we've got in-house, they've been looking at people over a certain age and contacting them directly. So as part of the valuation, we're already doing a lot of that as the cleansing project anyway.
Is information on your website regarding the board easily accessible, complete and up to date?
It's there. I mean, what we've got the Democratic Services pages, which is where we have all of the minutes and the agendas and papers, and it's got the list of people that are on it. We now have a link from the council's from the pension fund's webpage that says there's a board page, and I think that page could be beefed up a little bit. But until now, the only reporting information we had was on the Democratic Services pages, which were by necessity standard. But now we've got the ability to customise our pension fund website page. We can put more information on. We do link to the council's constitution where the terms of reference are. As we work through the guide, and we've got appointments and sort of role profiles, etc., we can beef that up as well and give a little bit more. I mean, at the moment it says that the page does say there will be options for people to apply to be on the board, and the next opportunity is in September 2021, which I think is after the elections, where we're looking at the 4-year rolling cycle. But obviously if we're looking for additional members to the board, then there will be more opportunities sooner than that, so we just need to keep that up to date and refresh that.
If anyone goes on and they want to be a board member, if we can get one each, then we'd welcome one.
And that's part of what we are looking to do, and I think that's one of the things in the paper that we'll come back to in a minute.
Has the board have oversight of the responsible investment policy of the fund? If not, is it on the work program?
The fund does not at the moment have an RI policy, but there is a workshop on the 17th of May at which the board will be invited to attend and have full input into the RI policy. And then once we've got an RI policy, the next stage is then how do we monitor what we're doing against it, which is another interesting.
There's what date is that meeting?
17th, Friday the 17th of May.
There's Unison Common Reach has got a course on the 9th of May. It's a trial course on responsible investment for activists, and I've applied to go on it. We've had to write a little spiel, and he's going to pick the 20 that can go on it, so hopefully.
Okay.
I hope I can get a place on it, but I'm sure it's going to be a lot of people.
Yeah.
On it,
yeah. Well, we've got for that workshop on the 17th of May. We've got the head of responsible investment from Hyman's coming down to deliver that. So he is big, obviously, head of responsible investment. So he will be.
This course is Unison and Share Action together.
Yeah.
So it should be
interesting. Yeah.
Does the firm have an administration strategy?
Yes, we do. And the board helped to create it. Mm-hmm. So I wrote that down. The board helped to create it. And let's skip over number 21, shall we?
Save the best to last.
Well, as this comes from SIPFA, that means we're not the only council who's had that problem with that question.
Mm.
Well, SIPFA recommends that we have.
Yeah, but you'd have thought they'd have put something in place to sort that out. That would have saved a lot of hassle and worry all over the country. Just the other world.
No, it's not. But the option is in the QC's advice that we either have extended policy.
But you would have thought when they set the regulations up for pension boards, they'd have put something in there so everybody would know whether it's doing work from day one, wouldn't they?
Because that was one of the actions that I was going to chase up with Justin.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have a discussion with him, and he was having the insurers coming down. He was going to invite me to the meeting to discuss this. And then he forgot.
No, he didn't forget.
They didn't come.
He didn't forget. They didn't come. They phoned him and said, oh, we're going to do this on the phone now. And he was like, so we had to do it. So
I've just recently contacted him.
Yeah. Okay.
Go see him. Just have a meeting with him.
So I think I think we just need to put a park pin in that one. And then and finally the question at the end. I think again, you know, we have mentioned a couple of times about admin strategy and service level agreement and KPIs and things like that. So I think there will be more opportunity to support, scrutinise whatever it is we need to do, the administration function. And that, I think, is one of the key areas that this board needs to be focused on, because the committee don't have the capacity to do it.
But it's their role.
No, absolutely. So I think, and as part of the whole thing, I think it becomes this whole the interaction between. We need to look at kind of a documented Isle of Wight Council roles and responsibilities, and then have a formal delegation or a request from the committee for the board to look at. And I think that's, you know, I mean, the committee has a huge terms of reference, which we created to make sure that all of their roles and responsibilities were listed. And I think as part of that, we need to formalise, I think, the relationship between the board and the committee, and get the, because at the moment we're working on the same things, but we're doing it kind of this bit here and this bit there, and not gelling together. Whereas if we can have a consolidated work plan, which is kind of where this work plan in here is coming from, that we're trying to feed the meetings in and do the recommendations, then actually we can look at the board and at the committee and say, right, these are the things we're going to do this year. And the board, you know, the committee should ask the board to do a risk review, to do a admin deep dive, to do a whatever type of thing.
Yeah, I see that.
And I think that's one of the things that we will get out of some of the conversations we have with Gerard before the June meeting.
Okay.
So, you know, I think it's good that we've got these to actually help us think. And I think with the suggested work plan, these questions, the guide, there's enough to keep us going. And I think we just need to pull that relationship between the board and the committee linked into having regular meetings with the chairman and Tracy, so that we can get everything sort of pulling together. So that was really helpful. And then the last thing on this paper, which we're still on sort of on B2 now, is around the board membership, which we've kind of touched on and said it would be useful to have more people on. Well, we actually have within our terms of reference, the capacity to put more people on the board, because we put the terms of reference of a minimum of 2 and a maximum of 8. So we will be seeking an additional employer rep and an additional scheme member rep. The employer rep, we will, I haven't done anything on this yet because just not enough hours in the day really, but we will be looking to elected members. But I think as we're struggling quite desperately to get an elected member on the pension fund committee, we might struggle with the elected members onto the board. So we've got an option behind the scenes there to go for an officer to be nominated to represent the employer, an officer of the council. And then for the scheme member representative, I'm going to put an article in the council's fine with a role profile something to seek expressions of interest from those people that aren't necessarily within Unison but are in the pension fund who would be interested. And I know a couple of people have sort of said that they'd be quite interested in looking at it.
So how do you determine from that who was to?
Well, I don't know. This is assuming that I get more than one person being interested.
Would I mean, I don't know if they do it, but would it be worth trying to get a little article about the local pension scheme in the county press with saying we're asking for, if anyone's interested in joining board, because that has quite wide coverage.
Yeah, there is that.
I mean, you did a similar thing for Pride. I know that has a higher profile, but they got a lot of people coming forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's I think that's an absolutely really valid idea. And had we got more time, I mean, we might be that we have time that we can do it. But yeah, I'll write that.
Communications app, that's something they can look at.
Yep. Yep. County Press.
The sort of person that sits there and reads County Press and cover the cover is the sort of person who wants, isn't it?
Yes, Barbara.
Well, it helps me out then, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that's really useful discussions.
Yes.
Thank you very much for that. The work plan, as I said, I think we've got most of the stuff that's in that work plan in our work plan. I think, and again, coming in from some of the other things that we're going to be looking at later on in the agenda, in terms of some of the standard items that we have on our board agenda. So if you look at B13, for example, which is the first page of Appendix 3.
Mm-hmm.
In the standard items under the board meeting for today, we've got the issues log, which, well, I've not updated for a while, and I think is potentially completely out of date now, so we need to have another think about what our risk issues are and do that. And then training as well. Again, as part of the review of the governance compliance statement, which we'll come on to shortly, there's a big section on there about members' knowledge and understanding, and that we had this big policy and this big checklist and everything that we looked at on a quarterly basis. Well, we haven't looked at it for a very long time, and I think it's just a case of we need to. That's so. I think those are the two key things that are missing at the moment from what we'd previously agreed that we need to do. So the issues log and the training. But otherwise, I think most of the stuff that we should be doing is in here. And we can draw the lines between, so for example, looking at the government's compliance statement here, admittedly, we don't have another meeting in between when I'm passing it through to the pension fund committee in June, but we have the process to step those things through to recommendation from board to committee.
But this is like a good checklist, isn't it, to check that these things are on the agenda for next time. So looking there, remind us in future, isn't it?
That we need to put something in. So again, and you know, there are things in here that aren't in this version because things have come out since that happened, like for example the good governance survey, which is coming out, and the TPR's governance and administration survey results for last year, which are coming out in May, so we'll put that onto the June board agenda so that we can talk about those. Yeah. There's other surveys that are coming out that will need input. There'll be scheme returns and things like that, which will be iterative. And again, you know, when you go on those training events from Barnet to Barnet Waddingham, or if we go to various other governance seminars or whatever, there will be bits and pieces coming out of those that we'll need to make sure that we feed in.
Yeah. Okay.
So please do treat this as a, not quite a Bible, but whatever, the it's a guide that will be updated on a regular basis to just keep us on track.
Okay.
Okay.
So then I'll